How does fat embolism present?
What present, sorry?
Fat embolism.
Fat embolism is basically someone with a recent fracture. They have petechiae, shortness of breath, and...
Good, so fractures, petechiae, and the chest. Good, shortness of breath, fine. How do you differentiate myocardial contusion from pulmonary contusion?
Pulmonary contusion, you will have... you could have basically unilateral infiltrates in the lung, along with the bruising and stuff after an accident or anything. And myocardial contusion, you'll have sternal bruising.
Amazing. Perfect. Okay. So they're not going to say white out of the lung, the colloquial term for pulmonary contusion. They'll say exactly as you said, like infiltrates, unilateral. And then, yes, myocardial contusion will be bruising over the sternum. All right, so okay. Car accident, chest x-ray shows widened mediastinum. Most likely diagnosis, next best step.
Diagnosis would be, could be basically thoracic aortic rupture. And the next best step, I don't know, surgery?
You're going to do aortic arteriography,
okay.
Also known as aortography.
Okay.
So that's what they want.
Okay.
And then surgery. What medication might you give them if you suspect thoracic rupture of the aorta?
Would we give them basically dopamine, something like that?
You're gonna give them something to increase their cardiac output when they have a dissection / rupture of the aorta?
Would we treat them as far as, would we give labetalol?
Yes, it's the opposite. So it's labetalol.
Okay.
So you decrease shearing forces
okay.
by giving labetalol. So you give labetalol for dissection and traumatic rupture of the aorta, but I shouldn't have said them in close proximity like that. Like dissection is different. Dissection is like from hypertension or cocaine use or connective tissue disorders, whereas traumatic rupture is literally traumatic rupture. You can get a false lumen. But when we say dissection alone, we're referring to not something traumatic generally.
For dissection, what would be the as far as like the next best step? Prior to giving them labetalol.
Prior to labetalol? Well, it'd be same. So you do x-ray, which would show a widened mediastinum, presumably. And you could do aortography. If you saw a widened mediastinum, you would give labetalol right away. You're not going to wait. You're not going to wait for arteriography. USMLE is not going to assess you in that way.
Okay.
If they want labetalol, it'll be just a medication question straight up.
Okay.
And you'd have to know like the answer. For example, it's not sodium nitroprusside, it's just labetalol.
Sodium nitroprusside is just for hypertensive urgency, emergency, stuff like that, right?
Emergency.
So for urgency, what would you give?
Oral captopril.
Okay.
So I've read. And that's in UWorld for step 3. Remember, like, they had, like, a couple questions where it was, like, they would stress, like, oral captopril. And I never really went beyond that. It was just, like, oral captopril. That's what they said.
Okay.
But it's more just you need to be aware that you reserve sodium nitroprusside for emergency and that you don't reduce the blood pressure too much too soon.
Okay.
It's like not more than 25% in the first 6 hours or something before you can get ischemic stroke. Okay, mm-hmm. So what does aortic regurg sound like?
It's a holodiastolic murmur.
Good, excellent. So it's a decrescendo holodiastolic murmur. Right? Classically, you'd say, oh, aortic, like second intercostal space, right sternal border. But I mean, it'll radiate down the left sternal border by all means.
Mm-hmm.
Murmur locations are highly variable on the USMLE, especially the step 2. It's a matter of just looking at everything else in the vignette and seeing it's clearly one answer. So like, for instance, if that's your auscultation, how would the pulse also be described? Is there another way they describe it?
Bounding. It's bounding pulses.
Good. So bounding, brisk upstroke with precipitous downstroke. What about blood pressure?
Blood pressure is like, there's a large gap in between them. So it's like 120 over 50 or something, like, for example. I'm just saying, yeah, like.
Probably more than that. But you're right. There's a big gap. They give you like 160 over 60. Or like 120 over 40. That's right.
Okay.
Okay. And then for aortic stenosis, what does that sound like when you auscultate it?
That is a basic crescendo decrescendo systolic or mid-systolic murmur, basically.
Good. And what is the, what's another way to describe the pulse?
The pulse is going to be pulses parvus tardus, whatever you think.
Good, slow uprising. So we can obviously talk about all the murmur stuff. I'm actually more concerned for your sake about, like, when you get a question where they give you oxygen tension at different locations. Like, they'll tell you, like, oxygen in the right atrium, oxygen in the left atrium, oxygen in the right ventricle, those types of things. And you have to infer whether you've got, like, an AST, VST. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. That. I'm like, oh, no, I don't like those. That's why it's like
you're going to get that on your exam. I had one on my step two. It's really high yield. It's just, it's making sure.
I didn't have any on step one. I was, like, so happy, but come here. Okay, for the oxygens, can you just briefly, how many minutes, oh, we're out. We could talk about it tomorrow, I can highlight it, it's fine.
Basically, oxygen should be, the highest yield point is that oxygen should stay the same going from the right atrium to the right ventricle, right? There's no mechanism for it to get oxygenated when it moves from right atrium to right ventricle. So if you see like oxygen is increased as you go from the right atrium to the right ventricle, the only way that can happen is if you have a VST. That's probably the highest yield exam. If you see any of these cardiac questions where they give you the oxygen tension, you know, you just have to kind of take 2 seconds to calm down and just think about the anatomy and not get flustered over it. And then it's, you know, it's not so bad.
For ASD, would it be,
you would see, go ahead.
Basically, right atrium, would it be higher?
Yeah, so you would see that the oxygen is higher in the right atrium than it is in the superior vena cava.
Okay.
And you'd say, well, how the fuck's that possible? It's only because it's getting oxygenated blood from the left atrium.
Okay. So it's basically all on the right side. This is what you have to focus on.
That's basically what they do, yeah.
Okay, great.